Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The great thing about being tolerant is that you can do that from your couch. You know, you can just lay there and do nothing, and you're successfully tolerating everything in the world. It doesn't really require anything of you.
It's important to understand that what begins as discrimination becomes secularization. You can't have a system where you legally privilege one religion without causing blowback.
The problem is if you go into marriage with this false ideal of self-actualization, then if you don't get that self-actualization, you've got your built-in excuse to quit.
The answer to despair is God's word. Living, mighty, efficacious. The answer to despair is our baptism. The answer to despair is the Holy Supper.
College students graduating during COVID-19, love Issues, etc.
It started, at least from my perspective, as a series of rather ungrateful tweets from a New York City council member. He was essentially inviting Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse, who had set up in New York City Central Park a field hospital during the outbreak of the virus in that city. He was inviting them to leave. They came in, he said, and took advantage of the city's vulnerability by setting up this hospital and taking care of people regardless of their religion, their creed, their inclinations, or their sexual persuasion. But now it was time for them to leave. They'd stayed long enough, overstayed their welcome indeed. And now, of course, the city is, well, recovering slowly, and the media is taking a look at the relationship between Franklin Graham, his organization, and the city. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, May the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about media coverage of a Central Park field hospital run by Franklin Graham Samaritan's Purse. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. A little bit later, Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will join us to talk about repentance in a time of pandemic. Then Dr. Kim Cherb joins us to continue our series, Studies in Acts. We'll talk about the person, the character of Timothy in the book of Acts. Joining us to discuss media coverage of a Central Park field hospital run by Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse, Terry Mattingly, senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Well, surprise, a lot of people in New York City don't like Franklin Graham, but is there something we can learn from this story?
Well, I think it is an interesting story from the perspective of media coverage, because the story had quite a few layers. It played out over time, but most importantly, Graham himself flew to New York, I think in his own plane, to actually face the press. And if you consider this a kind of case study of coverage of a hated, I don't think it's too great at this point to say that he's hated by some people on the left, a hated evangelical figure. This is a really interesting case, because at the end of it all, when Franklin Graham comes to New York and faces his critics, you end up with a story in the New York Times that I think you can genuinely call a balanced, pretty 50-50 story, in which Graham gets to defend himself and his critics get their day, and you end up knowing that this was a controversy in which there were people on both sides. However, I think there are at least two or three lessons that evangelical leaders can take away from that New York Times story, and we can get to those in a second. Did you have a chance to check out the New York Times story?
I absolutely did, and I agree with you that I think it's becoming more rare when the issues are what they are in this story, but I thought it was as balanced as they've been on that cluster of issues for a long time.
Yeah, me too. So at that point, you can say, well, Mattingly, you're cheering the New York Times. I mean, I sense a but or a however coming. In this case, I think we need to note kind of how Graham helped get that 50-50 coverage. I think evangelical leaders can learn something from that. At the same time, I think it bears asking, if you consider the controversy that developed kind of back at the start of this thing, which was when the tent city was going up and Mount Sinai was cooperating, and that was fine. And then we had this interesting announcement that the nearby Episcopal Cathedral of New York City, the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, one of the largest cathedrals in the world, was going to allow its undercroft to be used as an extension of the field hospital. And I remember on my Twitter feed for a couple of days, we had this kind of like, oh my, the Episcopal Church is going to hold its nose and take part in a project involving Franklin Graham. Do we have an actual sign that the coronavirus crisis is so important that it can even provoke tolerance on a building that is one of the two or three most potent symbols of the religious left in American life? Just a bit of a flashback. This is the church that way back in 1993, I attended a Gaia Mass in this, where there were praises sung to Ra and Ashra and various African deities while they brought the bread and the wine down to the altar, no less. And the sermon was preached by Carl Sagan. I mean, this is about as far left as you can go in institutionalized American religion. So it was a big deal that they were going to cooperate with Franklin Graham. Sure enough, a couple of days later, the Episcopal Church pulled out of that deal. And the Times did a piece that kind of said, well, this is obviously because Graham is such a controversial figure. I guess the question, one of several things I came away asking related to this whole adventure or episode, was Graham got 50-50 coverage in which his critics really got their day. Did the Episcopal Church in this story get 50-50 coverage? Did the actions of the Episcopal Church in this drama, did critics of the Episcopal Church have a chance to speak? I mean, if you stop and think about it, the Episcopal Church was pulling out of an effort to save the lives of New Yorkers because they disagreed with Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham, on the other hand, was pouring $1.5 or $2 million into a project to bring volunteers from all over the country to come to New York to save lives and to openly state that they would be glad to participate with all of the open care policies of Mount Sinai and hospitals in New York. Nobody would be turned away. No questions would be asked. There would be no anti-LGBT agenda here, unless their mere presence in the city constituted a negative agenda. Unless having, you know, we serve in Jesus' name and other slogans at the site constitutes a triggering attack on New York. I think it would have been interesting, in other words, to have quoted some defenders of Graham and actually interviewed them. And this brings me to another point. There is, in the midst of this article, there is a section where they quote Jonathan Tobin, who, you know, is frequently quoted on moral and social issues. He released a statement, I should say, where he defended Graham and kind of chided the critics in the city for saying, well, you know, what have you done? I mean, what does a person have to do to get your approval? And wrote an op-ed for the conservative paper in town, the New York Post, in which he criticized these people for showing ingratitude. Now, what I thought was interesting, though, this is a case of something that I think evangelical leaders and journalists, maybe even liberal religious leaders, should stop and think about for a moment. Why do the critics of Graham get interviewed and get a chance to kind of shape the story, but the defenders of Graham basically only get to speak through the printed word, either usually it's social media. In this case, it's actually they have to quote another newspaper in New York, which is really kind of wild that the New York Times would deign to do that. So I have questions about the coverage in general of this drama, not necessarily this final New York Times story, other than the fact that they didn't seem to want to actually talk to any defenders of Graham. And there were some really interesting defenders in social media. And a couple of them are people, one in particular, the liberal evangelical or progressive evangelical, Ron Sider, because I don't think you can call his theology liberal. He's more of a political progressive with a very conservative theological stance. But someone who's been highly critical of Franklin Graham went onto social media and wrote a lengthy piece in defense of Samaritan Purse in this case. So, good final story, but I think we can still see some trends in coverage here that are somewhat troubling, or at least it's something that evangelical leaders need to learn from.
How did Graham get this near to 50-50 coverage? Is it because he showed up?
And I think that's what evangelical leaders have to take away from this. That is one of the main things that has to be stressed. Would Graham have had a chance to have defended himself in quite strong language and also kind of have noted his company's, his ministry's track record? He showed up. Now, this is another thing that his father, Billy Graham, learned over the years. I know because I had a chance to talk to him about it. Graham learned that if you hold a press event and you invite the press to all come to it together, that this creates a kind of accountability, you know, where you've got a bunch of people quoting the same words and the same statements, which makes it kind of hard to quote them out of context. So Graham comes and holds a press conference and grants a number of media access through this kind of event. He may have done some other private interviews with religious press and whatever, but the key is, I think you just said it perfectly, he showed up. Now, so often evangelicals, when facing, and other conservative Christians maybe, when facing negative coverage, don't have the courage to actually show up and make their case in person. This automatically means you're trusting the media to call you for your point of view. I don't think you can trust media to do that anymore when you're on, quote unquote, the wrong side of history and they have a negative view. And in the case of New York, there's a large surrounding media community values thing going on here. Graham makes a strong point, though, which is that the city of New York, while unquestionably a blue zip code par excellence, the New York area is a very complex religious area. There are dynamic evangelical churches in New York City. Tim Keller and Redeemer Presbyterian, of course, leap to mind, but they are not the only game in town. There is a powerful African-American church presence, strong Korean churches, massive Latino Assemblies of God churches, and of course, you have the Catholic Church there as well. You have a lot of people that might have some criticisms of Franklin Graham's style, but they would show up to defend the actions of Samaritan's Purse. And especially the courage of the doctors and nurses of Samaritan's Purse who showed up in person to put their lives on the line to treat New Yorkers. I think you could have gotten a more colorful defense of Franklin Graham, a more human defense, with just a little bit more effort, to say the least.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of a Central Park field hospital run by Franklin Graham's Samaritan Purse. He's senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Despair says nobody cares, and that's not true.
Dr. Christian Kincaid, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Living with Grief, Bound by Sorrow, Wrapped in Comfort.
And despair says there's no hope for me, and that's not true. To despair is not of God.
Learn more about living with grief at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040.
Our pastors especially have carried a large burden to maintain Christ's instruction to provide word and sacrament ministry to their flocks. Thank your pastor by sending him an Ad Crucem greeting card or gift suitable for any budget. We recommend embroidered face masks, stunning posters confessing the faith, a crucifix or a pectoral cross, or how about a selection of Christmons? Recognize your faithful under-shepherd for upholding the office of holy ministry during these adverse circumstances. Visit adcrucem.com.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive word and sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide word and sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is, lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of a Central Park field hospital run by Franklin Graham's Samaritan's Purse. Terry Mattingly is our guest. He's senior fellow at the Overby Center at the University of Mississippi, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. So, Terry, I'm curious. There was, about halfway through the story, the obligatory mention of President Trump. Some have expressed alarm about Mr. Graham's past statements and political activities. He's a vocal supporter of President Trump, a role that has made some evangelicals uncomfortable. Is that necessary, really, for the story to get the whole picture?
Yes, it is, because it's a part of the anger. It's a part of the reaction. And it's a part of some of the words that Franklin Graham has spoken that would kind of create a chasm between him and even, you know, many very conservative, certainly pro-life evangelicals, Catholics and others. So, yeah, it's a part of it. And I don't think you can expect Trump, or we can expect Trump, to vanish in this kind of situation. To me, the really interesting question, though, is Franklin Graham has... He's one of those guys, saying I use frequently on the blog, he's one of those guys that never uses a fly swatter when a baseball bat will do. He just has a way of sometimes just bashing away on certain subjects, and he has said some outrageous things, and many of them get quoted in this article. What I think is interesting about the article, however, is I wondered if the actions of Franklin Graham over his decades of track record whether the actions of Graham and his ministry didn't deserve at least a paragraph or two. You know, the number of times that his group has gone into very dangerous circumstances to do medical missions that, quite frankly, don't involve evangelism at all. They're treating whoever shows up with bullet holes in them. And, you know, and in very dangerous circumstances, there's a track record here of his organization, both financially and in terms of its actions, that I wondered, his words are valid. His defenses of Trump are relevant. I say his words are valid. They're a valid part of the story. His words about Trump are relevant and deserve to be quoted. I wondered, however, if maybe readers in the New York Times needed to know how long Samaritan's Purse has been doing things like this. And come to think of it, I mean, this hospital just came completely de-cleansed, deep-cleaned, scrubbed up, came straight from Italy, where it had jumped right into the middle of the pandemic in northern Italy. And that's not exactly the evangelical Bible Belt either. You know, the cities, the highly secularized cities of modern Italy. So, you know, I just wondered, his words I think are valid to be covered. Fair game. I wanted to know a little bit more about the history, or I think New York readers needed to know a little bit more about the actions of Franklin Graham. He did some rather outrageously brave things as a young man. I'm sure he isn't riding directly into combat or flying helicoptering into combat, if helicoptering is a verb, as much as he used to when he was young. But the man has walked his talk on the issue of putting his life and his people's lives and the money he's raised, they've shown up. And I think there are quite a few people who will defend them for their actual record on the ground in terms of serving everyone with no theological tests given.
There's a quote on that theological test kind of thing, whereas I think people were assuming that Graham was going to somehow apply that test to those they served. When that is put away, Ann Northrup, who's a member of the Reclaim Pride Coalition, is quoted in the New York Times piece saying that LGBT New Yorkers felt personally attacked. And here's the quote. I wanted your thoughts on this. And personally at risk, just because they say that they wouldn't recoil or try to proselytize you or start praying over you loudly about how Jesus will change you or save mm-hmm. you, all this comes to mind, whether it is an actual possibility or not. Did that need to be explored a little bit more, in particular the change you or save you?
Yeah, I think they need to know if there's ever been anyone accuse them of that. Second, I think there are open-minded religious liberals and political liberals in the city that would say that just because you're afraid that they might do something that, by the way, they've never done before in terms of medical ministry, would you say that that means turning down their efforts? And at the moment they rolled into town, they were coming well before there was any sign that the hospitals of New York were not going to be overwhelmed. Samaritan Purse, and I would add the effort to work with that massive space in that cathedral, that was an important development at that stage of the New York pandemic. Do you turn down people of goodwill for reasons of that level of sensitivity? Now, the sensitivity, I think, the disagreement is real and whatever, but once again, are we judging Samaritan's Purse for thought crimes, or are we judging them for the actions of their actual doctors and nurses and their track record? I think in the end, that's the point. And I don't think the Times would have had any trouble finding liberal voices that would have been anxious to have defended Samaritan Purse's actions in this case.
So who is Ron Sider and why is he relevant to this story?
Well, Ron Sider is one of the best known progressive evangelicals in American life. Christians in an Age of Hunger, a lot of famous writings through the years. And Sider, though, is a theological conservative on moral and social issues. He makes it very clear, who at the same time has been highly critical of Graham for his action, his words about Islam and sexuality. And he thinks the evangelical church frequently has handled the gay community with a lot of mistakes have been made, has handled it very poorly. He wrote this piece and posted it on Facebook, in which he comes out one point and saying, we've got to admit that there is a fundamentalist left in America, as well as there as a fundamentalist right. And the fundamentalist left has its own kind of intolerance. And then Sider, toward the end, in addition to kind of taking that stand in defense of Samaritan's Purse, he finally says, and I'll read a piece of this. My concern about the attack on Samaritan's Purse by a gay activist in New York City, and he's talking about within the government, is not about my disagreement on marriage. My concern is about religious freedom, choice, pluralism, and a respect for those who disagree with us. The key point of our Constitution's First Amendment on religious and political freedom is this. Precisely because society is and always will have many diverse views, we therefore respect and affirm the freedom of those who profoundly disagree with us. We will argue vigorously with each other and explain why we think certain views are profoundly wrong and even harmful, but we will defend the freedom of those who disagree with us, even those who disagree vehemently with us, and we will try not to use government to silence or exclude them. And this is what Sider is really talking about this. At what point did the government of New York City begin to express hostility or distrust of the effort between Samaritan's Purse and Mount Sinai? I mean, down to the point where, I mean, Graham asked if the volunteers who came in could maybe we at least not charge them New York and city income tax while they're there. Nope. Apparently the city's going to go after the taxes for these people based on their work in the park, you know, whether they were paid for it or not. At what point could hospitality have been a possibility? Maybe even potentially gratitude? Once again, I want to stress, there were liberals and secular people who showed gratitude to the Samaritan Purse effort. I think that side of the story deserved a little bit more exploring.
With just a couple minutes, I was fascinated by the way the New York Times story ended. It ended with a quote from a Mr. Pike, 28, who is a nurse, explaining what he was there for. He said, "We work here with people who all share a common sense of purpose. We are all here because Jesus died for us and for our sins, and we came here to lay down a small part of our lives to help others. How could we not? Giving sacrificial love is very important to us." End of story. What did you make of that ending in the New York
Times?
I thought
it was a very strong quote. And I'm glad that once again, some of the Samaritan's Purse volunteers made themselves available for interviews with what, you know, they had some right to think was a potentially hostile situation. Once again, let's go full circle here. I have questions about how this whole drama was covered. I have a few questions about some of the methodology in this story. But let's be blunt. Graham, and at the end here, some of his volunteers, spoke for themselves. And because of that, we got exactly what the New York Times needed to offer, which was a balanced debate about a highly charged situation. We can kind of punch at it, we can pick at it, but the goods got delivered for the most part, overwhelmingly, in this story. And I think that's something that makes it worth studying. And quite frankly, if I were the head of the press offices for some conservative organizations in America, like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod or the Southern Baptist Convention, or the Presbyterian Church in America, I think they should have sent representatives to the lobby of the New York Times and said, we'd like to have a short meeting with the editors here to thank them for that story. They could try. What are they going to do, turn them away? I think it would be worth having some praise there in the lobby presented by some evangelical leaders.
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow at the Overbee Center at the University of Mississippi. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks, and we'll talk again next week.
Glad to be here.
Speaking of leaders of church bodies, Pastor Matt Harrison will be joining us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking with him about repentance in a time of pandemic. He's written recently in the Lutheran Witness magazine a column titled, This Pandemic is Temporary. Stay tuned.
Weddings and pandemics. That seems like an odd combination, but it's the May issue of the Lutheran Witness in sickness and in health. The church will only survive COVID-19 by focusing on Christ, who offered his life for his bride that she might be spotless. So also the bride and groom will only fulfill their wedding vows in sickness and in health by focusing on Christ and his word of forgiveness. Subscribe to the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union serves the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod community with car and personal loans, mortgages, credit cards, checking and savings accounts. Lutheran FCU supports LCMS organizations with its Spotlight Ministry program, and Lutheran Federal Credit Union allows you to make purchases with Apple Pay, Google Pay, and Samsung Pay using your digital wallet. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Good for you. Good for the church. Lutheran Federal Credit Union. LutheranFCU.org.